is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the Resistance. We are the InfoWar.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Thursday, October 2nd, 2014. Here are our top stories.
Tonight, the CDC predicts a massive increase in Ebola by New Year's. Then, a sheriff's deputy gets 12 years for millions in laundered money. And the security theater of the Secret Service. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Watch your spewing is conspiratorial hatred. It's racist, racist.
Well, a new study released by the CDC on September 26th, that's 4 days before we learned of patient zero in Dallas. That new study posits that the number of cases in Liberia and Sierra Leone are growing at a much faster rate than previously thought. And of course, it is not under control. It is ever expanding. It was just 6 months ago that we learned of the first Ebola cases in Guinea. But of course, it's been Liberia and Sierra Leone where they've grown the fastest. And the CDC points out that the number of cases in Liberia is doubling every 15 to 20 days. Those in Sierra Leone are doubling every 30 to 40 days. Well, what does this look like? Remember that the population of Liberia is only just over 4 million people, about the size of the number of people that live in North Carolina. Yet they've had 3,000 cases of Ebola in just that one country, and about 2,000 of those people have died. If you normalize that to the United States, you'd be looking at numbers that were around 300,000 people getting Ebola and about 200,000 dying. So the assurances that we're getting from the leaders of our country that we have a robust, modern medical system that can handle this, I don't know that they can handle it if they get that many cases. And of course, they're saying now in another study that came out from the CDC that Ebola cases could reach at least 550,000 by January and up to 1.4 million in those two countries, in Liberia and Sierra Leone. Again, normalizing that to the population of those two countries, the combined population is about 10 million people. So we're looking at about 5% to 14% of the people in the country being sick with Ebola. Now, the first casualty of the pandemic has been the truth. It was just a couple of weeks ago, before we learned of patient zero, that Obama visited the CDC in Atlanta, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That's a very unusual thing for a president to do, but then he made these pronouncements. He said, "Our experts here at the CDC and across our government agree that the chances of an Ebola outbreak here in the U.S. are extremely low. In the unlikely event someone with Ebola does reach our shores, we've taken new measures so that we're prepared here at home. Our nurses and medical staff are trained, are ready, and are able to deal with a possible case safely." And we saw just a few days later what happened when we had that case appear. They completely dropped the ball. Now, it's also interesting that the very day before he made these pronouncements, Paul Joseph Watson carried the story here at InfoWars.com that the U.S. State Department had ordered 160,000 Ebola hazmat suits. So they weren't that confident, perhaps. Now, something else happened on that trip to the CDC, and that's all that the press is talking about. Of course, it led to the resignation of the head of the Secret Service. While at the CDC, Obama got into an elevator with a private security person who was armed at the time, and the Secret Service did not know it. But what they're not talking about is the fact that he's visiting the CDC. That in and of itself is highly unusual for a president, as well as the pronouncements that he's made. Now, of course, Chris Matthews is not very happy about the fact that he was assured by President Obama. Yet again, one of his promises doesn't come through. That tingle in his leg, I guess, is starting to turn to a fever. He had this to say to Ezekiel Emanuel.
"The president said it would be unlikely if we had a case in this country. Unlikely to have even one case. Want to go back and see the tape again?
He said it wouldn't be an Ebola outbreak, and I think that's
no." And then the second
accurate
part of his sentence, he said, "In the unlikely case, someone brings it here."
Yeah.
"In the unlikely case, somebody brings it here." Well, they've done it. We're living in the world of the unlikely already. That's all I'm saying. I'm not spearmongering. I'm stating the fact.
We're still not getting the truth from the White House. It was just yesterday that the White House press secretary, Josh Earnest, told reporters there are screening procedures in place at our borders. Now, that simply isn't true. If you've flown, you know that the only thing they're looking for are taxable items. And we had a doctor who put on an Ebola protection suit to protest the CDC in Atlanta today. He was very upset about the fact that they're lying to people, misleading them about the risks. It's a Dr. Gil Mobley. He checked in and cleared airport security wearing a mask, goggles, gloves, boots, and a hooded white jumpsuit emblazoned on the back with the words, "The CDC is lying." He said they're sugarcoating the risk of the virus spreading across the United States. He says if they're not lying, they're grossly incompetent. And he pointed out that when he did come into the country yesterday, the only thing they were asking people was if they had tobacco or alcohol. They only care about taxes. They're not interested in disease. Now, he also pointed out that once you start to get to a critical mass, as I mentioned, they're expecting that this is going to reach anywhere from 500,000 to 1.5 million in the two principal countries of the pandemic in Africa, Liberia and Sierra Leone. If that happens, he points out that we're going to get large clusters of people self-immigrating into the United States. What are we going to do to deal with that? Now, we had the Daily Caller point out yesterday that there are 13,500 people in those Ebola countries that currently hold a U.S. visa. It's not clear how many of those people are already in the United States and how many are in those countries and could legally enter the United States. Keep in mind that a visa is essentially our permission to those people, as our government is giving them permission to enter our country. Why can we not have conditions that there are health inspections on the people coming into our country from areas where there is a pandemic? We see that happening in the UK, even with animals, even with dogs. They are quarantined for 21 days from the US and from the EU. If they're coming in from other countries, they quarantine them for 30 days to protect dogs. Can't we have those same protections here in America? Well, of course, immigration is a subject that is loaded with political correctness. And Rand Paul pointed this out in an interview. He said political correctness is hindering our scientific decisions on the Ebola outbreak. Now, there's a couple of different ways that you could look at that. Is he talking about political correctness in terms of not being able to honestly talk about the risks of the disease? Or is it political correctness to not be able to talk about which countries people are coming from, or excluding people from certain countries? We wouldn't want to do that, would we? Now, he was actually more focused on the transmission of the disease. He said, "I really think it's being dominated by political correctness. We're not making sound, rational, scientific decisions on this. We should not underestimate the transmissibility of this." He said, "My suspicion is that it's a lot more transmissible than if people who are taking every precaution are still getting it. There are people who are getting it who are simply helping people get in and out of a taxi cab." And of course, that is true. That's what we've been saying. Why have there been over 300 doctors and nurses who have died in that country? Is it simply carelessness? Is it fatigue? Or is it that they don't understand all the modes of transmission? Well, in a story breaking this afternoon from Paul Joseph Watson on Infowars.com, he points out that experts are saying that Ebola could be transmitted at a distance from infected victims. He quotes the doctors who put out the report saying, "We believe there is scientific and epidemiologic evidence that Ebola virus has the potential to be transmitted via infectious aerosol particles, both near and at a distance from infected patients," which means that healthcare workers should be wearing respirators, not simply face masks. Making reference to controversy about whether Ebola virus can be transmitted via aerosol, the authors of the study assert that the current understanding that Ebola can only be transmitted by direct contact with virus-laden fluids is incorrect and outmoded. Absolutely. I believe that is true. I believe they don't understand fully the modes of transmission, and certainly those risks are not being communicated to the people in the countries adequately, and we're not seeing it truly and adequately given to the people of America because they simply don't believe that we can handle it. They think we're going to panic. Well, telling people lies and pretending that there aren't any problems when there really are is a surefire way to create hysteria and panic because you've lost your credibility. They're not going to believe you even when you tell the truth. But of course, there's another part of political correctness about that. We saw this from Nancy Pelosi just in the last couple of days at a press conference, again, on the issue of immigration, not necessarily about Ebola. They asked her about illegal aliens, and she pushed back on the reporter. She said, "Are you referring to undocumented people in the United States?" And the reporter responded, "Yes, ma'am, illegal aliens." And she said, "Oh, undocumented people, okay?" That's what we see. That's the kind of political correctness that prevents us from actually addressing the reality of the situation, whether it's illegal immigration for economic reasons or for health reasons. Remember that the AP reversed itself just within a short six-month period. They had defended the use of the term illegal alien, and when they first did it, they said that it makes it look like the illegal presence of the people that they're talking about is simply a matter of minor paperwork. That was the director of the AP that said that back in October of 2012. 6 months later, they reversed their position and said they would no longer use the terms illegal alien. They would only talk about undocumented workers. Jay Leno had it right. He said they're actually undocumented Democrats. Well, it's not just the political correctness. It's not just the semantics of saying it's not airborne when it's actually aerosols. It's also a crackdown, outright confrontation on free speech. And we saw this with Nancy Pelosi's press conference when she came down for a photo op at San Antonio. And Joe Biggs went down there as an InfoWars reporter to try to ask her questions and was kept at a distance. They had to shout questions out to her. That's the way they control press conferences. That is standard operating procedure everywhere. It was just a couple of days ago that we had a reporter in Wisconsin who was creeped out and mad at the Obama Democrats who tried to attempt to stop her from talking to a crowd. Now, bear in mind, this is a reporter from a newspaper that had endorsed Barack Obama in 2008. They're very friendly to him. Yet she complained on Facebook and Twitter that aides to Michelle Obama and Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mary Burke told her that she could not talk to the crowd at a Burke event in Milwaukee. And what she said is, to say that I was creeped out is an understatement. This is what reporters do in America. We speak to people. At least that's how I've been doing things at all kinds of political events since 1979. Well, that's a sad state of affairs that we have. It's not enough that the White House press secretary tells us outright lies about how they're supposedly protecting us at the border. We're not allowed to talk to most government officials. Even the public information officers will refuse to talk to us in most cases at InfoWars. They don't even allow friendly reporters now to talk to audience members. That's the amazing suppression of freedom of speech. It's going to get much worse if people like this reporter don't stand up and expose this. Stay with us. Right after the break, we're going to take a look at the ZMapp vaccine. It's been touted as a possible cure for Ebola, and they're ramping up production. It's the usual suspects: U.S. military, big tobacco, the Gates Foundation. Is it effective? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
In the past decade, we have witnessed unparalleled scientific discoveries in the area of health. But no one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. DNA Force is one of the most expensive formulas to produce. Some of the ingredients in DNA Force are $12,000 a kilogram. We are using the coveted, patented, only American source of PQQ, CoQ10, and more. You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? Well, we're bringing you a total win-win. The ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. We have produced a limited run of DNA Force, and it will take up to 12 weeks to produce more once we sell out. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force from InfoWars Life.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield, Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Welcome back. Now, the New York Times reports that federal officials are planning to sharply increase the production of ZMapp. Now, of course, That's the vaccine developed for Ebola by a very small pharmaceutical company in conjunction with the U.S. military and Big Pharma. It looks like they're going to get a lot more pharmaceutical companies involved on the profit making of this. They say that they're going to work with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Wellcome Trust. They're also arranging for production of ZMAP in animal cells. Right now it's being produced in plant cells. They say although that would take longer, it would allow for greater output by tapping into the biotechnology industry's huge production capacity. We're going with multiple manufacturers. Now, take a step back and remember that the ZMAP virus is something that is first developed by exposing mice to Ebola. Once they create some antibodies, they genetically modify those antibodies, then grow them in tobacco plants that are genetically modified. That creates what they call plantibodies that they then inject into the patients. So they directly put in quote-unquote antibodies or plantibodies that are going to immediately confront the virus as opposed to waiting for the body to build up its own immune system. Now, is this effective? It may sound creepy. It may sound scary. And I have severe concerns about the safety of this. But let's look at the efficacy of this. Now, when we first heard about ZMAP, it was headlines like this in the mainstream media. Experimental drug likely saved Ebola patients. Now, those patients were the two Americans who were brought back to Emory University, Dr. Kent Brantley and another aid worker who was working with Samaritan's Purse. We were told, and this is the narrative that we see in the CNN story, on Thursday, Dr. Kent Brantley thought he was going to die. It was ninth day since the American missionary worker came down sick with Ebola in Liberia. Then they talk about the miraculous recovery that he went through when he was given the ZMAP vaccine. But there was also another thing that they gave him that some other outlets reported, Newsweek reported, that on the same day, he got a blood transfusion. The headline there was the 20-year-old Ebola treatment that could save Kent Brantley. That actually preceded by a couple of days all the mainstream media accounts attributing the recovery to ZMAP. And what they have here is a quote from Franklin Graham, president of Samaritan's Purse. He said, on Thursday, Brantley was given a shot at survival. A 14-year-old male Ebola patient who had been under Brantley's care and survived donated a unit of blood to Brantley, according to Samaritan's Purse. The young boy and his family wanted to be able to help the doctor that had saved his life. Well, that's very interesting because even though they recovered, they got the blood transfusion as well as ZMAP, we had two other patients who were given ZMAP that died. I don't know if they were given any other treatment. I don't know if they were given a blood transfusion. We still have three who were given the ZMAP vaccine, and it is unclear what their condition is at the moment. So if you just look at those numbers, and there were only seven treatments that were sent out before they ran out of supply of the ZMAP vaccine, it doesn't look like it's any better than what people are experiencing in terms of recovery rates without that vaccine. Since Dr. Brantley recovered, another American doctor, Dr. Richard Sacra, also came down with Ebola. He was given blood transfusion from Dr. Kent Brantley, who sent blood to him. They were both of the same type. And of course, for the blood transfusion to work, if you're going to have a transfusion that's going to grant you immunity, you need to have the same type of blood for a transfusion. But also, there are several different types of strains of Ebola. There's at least five strains of Ebola. It's not clear that if you have recovered from one strain of Ebola that it's going to give you immunity to the other strains. Nevertheless, this doctor was given a blood transfusion. So it raises the question, does Dr. Kent Brantley think that he was cured by ZMAP? Or does he think that he was cured by the blood transfusion? Well, actually, he says that he was cured by God. That's where he stands on this. But we have to look at this and question whether or not ZMAP has been proven to be effective. But that's not stopping the medical industrial complex from gearing up to make a lot of money off of this vaccine, perhaps making it mandatory. That's my concern. That's many people's concern. Now, Dr. Sacra is being treated in Nebraska, the Nebraskan Medical Center. They're also giving him another experimental drug. They're not saying what it is. They say it is not ZMAP. And this is what the doctor there had to say. He said, we don't know if this is having an effect at all. We just administered everything that we had access to, honestly, and he's not going to name the drug because he doesn't want to mislead the public into thinking it's a cure. That's something we don't see happening from the other side. Stay with us right after the break. We're going to look at a money laundering case. It's going to shed some light as to how differently people are treated depending on the quantity of money that they launder. Seems like the more money you launder, the easier they are on you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Darren McBreen, and here are some of today's top headlines breaking right now at Infowars.com. Experts say the Ebola virus can be transmitted at a distance from infected victims, and professors say health workers are being put at risk. In a piece published by CIDRAP, the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy, authors Dr. Lisa Brosen and Dr. Rachel Jones highlight how Ebola currently has unclear modes of transportation. The U.S. Army says ISIS is planning to kill families of soldiers. The latest purported threat, jacking up the temperature in the ISIS war abroad and the PSYOP propaganda battle at home, is a claim by the Pentagon that the Islamic State is now targeting U.S. soldiers' families in America. Russia and Iran have agreed to use their own national currencies in bilateral trade transactions, and they will boycott the U.S. dollar. This is yet another reaction to heavy Western sanctions placed on Russia by the United States. For more information on these stories, plus updates and breaking news as it happens, go to Infowars.com.
This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here, an electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the survival silver solution, the new InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver is the answer for you and your family. And it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. The InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Silver is so powerful that it is concentrated into a 2-ounce bottle and is not recommended for extended continual use. This is not a low-grade formula. We are working with one of the top laboratory manufacturers in the United States to bring you the best form of colloidal silver using electrical processes within a base of deionized water for your preparedness storage. For your home kitchen, purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today and find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder, backed by FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
HSBC was found guilty of laundering money by the billions for the drug trade. Of course, Eric Holder's Department of Justice essentially said they were too big to jail. No one went to jail, and they got a very light fine. But if you're a former sheriff's deputy and you launder $40 million, not billions, you will go to jail for 12 years. That's what's happening to Robert Ricardo Maldonado, 49, worked as a cash runner for drug traffickers from 2001 until November 2013. Now, during this time, he was a sheriff's deputy. Then he was arrested with $1 million in cash in the trunk of his car. And at the same time, he was running for elected office for constable. So you see, there's a huge difference if you launder $1 billion, nothing happens to you. If you launder $1 million, you go to jail for 12 years. What happens if you're just set up in the war on drugs? Remember that it was about a year ago that Eric Holder's Department of Justice was saying they were going to take a strong look at these mandatory minimum sentences that were being handed out to first-time offenders, sending people to jail for extremely long times. Of course, that has not happened. But let's look at what was brought to light at the time. This is an article from Think Progress, and they looked at five people who were serving draconian drug sentences thanks to the mandatory minimum laws. Those are the laws that were put in by the Reagan administration. Let's just look at the first one here, the man who sold his own pain pills to an informant. Now, this is a guy who was sentenced to 25 years mandatory minimum prison sentence. What did he do? Well, he sold some of his pain pills to an undercover informant who had become his friend and told him that he couldn't afford both his rent and prescription medication. So this guy, Horner, who works in a fast food restaurant, not making a lot of money, and a father, had been prescribed pain medication because of an injury when he lost an eye. Now, because he gives this guy some of his prescription pain pills, He is sent to jail for 25 years. The thing that makes this really egregious is the person who set him up, who befriended him, who told him the lies about how he couldn't pay his rent and pay for pain medication at the same time, was someone who had been convicted himself of a crime and was getting himself off by turning in somebody else. Let's take a look at one more. And of course, this is one that we talked about quite a bit. Someone who was in Montana operating a medical marijuana dispensary considered to be a model of compliance with state law. He was not breaking any state laws, but the feds came after him. What they did was they added a gun charge to his drug charge. They came after him for a large amount of marijuana, which he was doing legally according to state laws. They compounded that with a gun charge and set him up for 85 years. He would not take a plea bargain. Instead, he fought it in court. He lost, unfortunately, because I'm sure they had jurors who did not know about fully informed juries. They didn't know that they could judge the law as well as the facts of the case. They needed to judge the mandatory minimum laws. They needed to judge the federal laws that were coming in conflict with the state laws. But instead, they convicted him. The district court judge named Christensen was so outraged, they went back to the prosecutors and said, we need to adjust this. So the prosecutors took off the weapons charge, which means that he then only went to jail for 5 years. For 5 years. For doing something that was entirely legal in the state of Montana, according to state law. This is where we are. This is the double standard. There is no equal protection under the law. There is no sanity to our war on drugs. And of course, that's where the war on our due process, on the Fourth Amendment, on so many different aspects that we have lost our constitutional rights, that is where this all began, far before the war on drugs. And of course, it has gotten much worse because we have not addressed those unconstitutional laws. Now, of course, as I mentioned earlier in the program, Obama went to the CDC in the middle of September where he was giving us the all clear on Ebola. And at that very trip, he got onto an elevator with someone, private security, who had a gun and the Secret Service did not know about it. That supposedly is the straw that broke the camel's back and got the director of the Secret Service fired. But there were a lot of other missteps by the Secret Service recently.
The door's not locked. Inside, an officer confronts Gonzalez but is overpowered. Alarm boxes are near the front door. They're silenced because the White House staff complained they were too noisy.
You see these kind of cosmetic, you know, air quotes here, optics issues all the time. Well, we don't want to bother the president. We don't want to bother the ushers. Well, do you want to keep him alive?
The director of the Secret Service has resigned. There have been multiple recent security breaches that have led up to this announcement. Besides the White House fence jumper who made it well beyond the front door, it's being reported that the final straw was that an armed private contractor shared an elevator with the president at CDC headquarters. But that's not to say that the Secret Service isn't working. The Fox brothers, who produced Conrad the Constitution, were visited by the service for making a cartoon that portrays the assassination of the president.
Hey, Chris, was I supposed to get the Colombian hookers tonight? I can't remember.
Here goes nothing, Baldy!
The brothers were eventually found not to be a threat. Also, when the president came to the LBJ Museum in Austin, InfoWars went in hopes of getting in a question. Even though we went through the process of getting credentialed, we were informed that we weren't selected by the service to attend the president's address. We couldn't even get within several hundred yards of the presidential convoy to get decent footage. This is security theater at its finest. Crack down on the media and keep the reporters at bay, but someone can literally waltz into the White House. You can find more reports at InfoWars.com.
Well, that's it for tonight's news. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the Alex Jones channel. If you're not a subscriber to Prison Planet TV, please consider becoming a subscriber and supporting our operation. You can share your subscription with others. 11 of you can watch each night as the news is broadcast, and you can also view all of Alex Jones's documentaries. We'll be back tomorrow night at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Join us.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine. based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off Super Detox Special at InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcode with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.